Welcome to episode 242 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. We continue today with our study of the book of Galatians. And if it's Tuesday, it's time for another top 10 list.
Today's top 10 list.
10 notes inspired by the book of Galatians.
Number 1.
While the authorship of many books of the Bible have been disputed by scholars, the book of Galatians, also known as the Epistle to the Galatians, is not among them. Many consider this book to be the first epistle written by the Apostle Paul. He addresses this letter to the early Christians in Galatia out of deep concern about a religious crisis happening at that time. Through this letter, Paul reprimands the new believers for quickly abandoning the gospel they had heard him preach and which they had initially accepted.
Number 2.
Paul writes to the churches in southern Galatia after having had a hand in starting them on his first missionary journey to Asia Minor. Paul's close relationship to these churches helps to explain the extremely strong tone he takes with them from the very beginning of the letter. Galatians exhibits Paul at his angriest as he risks the good favor of the converts in these churches to make sure they are on the path of truth and not led off into deception.
Number 3.
Sometime after Paul begins his ministry, Peter visits Antioch in Syria, the location of the first Gentile church and the base of Paul's missionary activities described in Acts. While there, Peter eats freely with the Gentile Christians. However, when a group of Jewish Christians who had recently been with the Apostle James show up, Peter, fearful of what they will think, changes his behavior. Some have mistakenly assumed that Peter and the other Jews with him had ceased following the Old Testament laws about clean and unclean food. This, however, does not seem to be the case. If Peter and all the Jewish Christians had abandoned the Jewish food laws, a major uproar in the church certainly would have followed. If so, there surely would be some record of it, but there is not. It is more likely that the issue is about the table fellowship with Gentiles. Because many Jews saw Gentiles as unclean, it was a practice among some to avoid social contact with Gentiles as much as possible. Paul calls Peter's actions exactly what they are. The Greek word he uses in Galatians 2 verse 13 is translated hypocrisy. Strong words from one man of God to another.
Number 4.
In the early church, those who taught a combination of God's grace and human effort are called Judaizers. The word Judaizer comes from a Greek verb meaning to live according to Jewish customs. The word appears in Galatians 2 verse 14, where Paul describes how he confronted Peter for forcing Gentile Christians to Judaize.
Number 5.
The book of Galatians is sometimes called the Magna Carta of Christian Liberty, or the Christian Declaration of Independence. It is called this because Protestant reformers in the 16th century used this book especially to show that salvation is by faith alone. In Galatians 3 verses 23 to 28, Paul instructs the Galatian Christians, explaining how Christ's coming has begun a new era and emphasizing the paramount importance of living in the freedom and oneness that Christ brings. This passage has informed Christian understanding of the law, faith, baptism, and social relationships, even through contemporary times, in part because of the effectiveness of Paul's message through the use of metaphors. This scripture passage is very relevant to Christians today, for it addresses three issues of contemporary resonance. the role of the Mosaic Law in the lives of Christians, baptism, and equality in Christ. Paul's letter to the Galatians has been compared to spiritual dynamite, and rightly so. Except for Romans, no other book in the Bible has sparked as much spiritual revival and reformation. One could argue that out of the pages of Galatians, along with Romans, Protestantism itself was born. It was while reading Galatians that Martin Luther first was touched with the glorious good news of righteousness by faith. The epistle to the Galatians, he said, is my epistle. To it, I am married. In turn, it was Luther's gospel-centered writings that in Aldersgate Street in London on May 24, 1738, transformed the life of John Wesley, who then spearheaded a spiritual revival that swept not only through the British Isles, but across the entire English-speaking world.
Number 6.
The average private letter in the Greco-Roman world was 90 words long, and the average literary letter was 200 words long. Typically, a letter would fit on one papyrus sheet, or roughly the size of a piece of paper in a modern notebook. By comparison, Paul's letters average around 1,300 words. His shortest letter to Philemon is 335 words long, and his longest letter to the Romans is 7,114 words long. His letter to the Galatians is more than 3,000 words long.
Number 7.
Since it was difficult to write on papyrus, authors usually dictated their letters to a scribe. Sometimes authors left oral instructions, a rough draft, or notes for the scribe to follow. Other times, the author dictated directly. We don't know Paul's process, but it was typical for the apostle to sign a letter to prove its authenticity. This is what he writes in Galatians 6, verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Paul points out that he writes his postscript with large letters. Many speculate this is because he had poor eyesight and could not read or write small print. But it is more likely that he made the letters large simply for emphasis.
Number 8.
Galatians points out various freedoms that believers who are in Christ enjoy. Freedom from sin, freedom from the law of Moses, freedom from the doctrines of men.
Number 9.
Paul mentions the law 31 times. He references the cross 6 times and faith 21 times. Other frequently used words are flesh, spirit, the promise, and bondage, or words related to bondage.
Number 10.
The first real controversy that plagues the church in its early years regards a relationship between Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles. Unity in Christ, regardless of differences in background, is clearly important to Paul. For him, this is no minor issue, as he goes so far as to call the Galatians deserters of Christ, people turning from the truth toward a gospel contrary to the one they had received from Paul. Father, thank you for the lessons about freedom, faith, and fellowship that we learned from our study of the book of Galatians. Help us to be committed to you and united with fellow believers. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.